Moneyline with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe out in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino. Michael Lombardi in the great state of New Jersey. Fun first hour that we had. If you missed it, make sure you check it out in podcast form. All you have to do is search the Lombardi Line. Hour number two should be a whole lot of fun. 30 minutes from now, our buddy Matt Eumanns, host of VSiN Tonight, will be joining us in studio to break down Super Bowl 58 between the Niners and the Chiefs, as well as going over some of the big games in college hoops. Duke, North Carolina, the headliner in college basketball. But Michael, let's begin this second hour with, we actually have a little bit of line movement that's going on in the market with the Super Bowl. Westgate has now gone to 2.5. So we now have seen a 2.5 pop here in the market for the first time since the openers last Sunday after the NFC title game when the Niners beat the Lions. So interest on San Francisco has kind of bubbled out to Westgate out to 2.5 now. I mean, I don't think we're going to see a 3, but 2.5 nonetheless is where we're sitting at the Westgate at least.
Oh, I don't think we're going to see it. FanDuel, there are other ones in New Jersey that have it too. I see it here on my board that there's 2.5. So there seems to be some kind of money coming in all over. For me, you know, this is surprising 8 days away from kickoff. I thought the movement might occur. I don't see any reason why this is going to go to 3. Mm-hmm. The initial number was 3. People got fortunate to bet it. I see in Bill Ady's email that everybody that is taking the Chiefs are taking the 3. Mm. They were quicker at the switch to get it than I thought, because I never saw the 3. But, you know, sometimes we can find numbers that aren't even there. That's a wonderful thing about sports betting, right? You got to search and look all over. For me, I think it'll come back to 2. I keep breaking the game down, and it's a leap of faith. It really is a leap of faith that this 49er defense is going to be the one we saw in the regular season. We know Andy Reid's a really good play caller. We know Andy Reid's a really good play designer. I mean, 46 of their points have been scored in the first half. Of the 70, they've scored 46 in the first half. So we know they're really good in that area. And if they play from in front, now, you know, they won a lot of series without getting a first down. You know, but then when you go back and look at the Buffalo game, when they didn't have the ball, they were able to maximize their efforts. They had the ball for 22 minutes mm-hmm. and scored 27 points, right?
It's pretty efficient.
And so to me, yeah, they can be a little bit of efficiency. You know, they've had in that game, they had 3 drives of 7 plays or more. You know, so I think to me, that's what they want to do. That's their style. Now, what Kyle has to do is exactly what Buffalo did. Buffalo had a 14-play drive to score, an 11-play drive to score, a 12-play drive to score, a 15-play drive to score. And the last drive of the game was a 16-play drive that they missed a field goal to get the game in overtime. And if they play like Buffalo did and move the ball like that, they'll have a chance. But I don't know how I can get to, and I haven't done my prediction yet. We have to do that mm-hmm. by Monday, 5:00. I can't quite get it on paper to say I'm going to go. I want the Niners. I just can't say it because I don't see it. There's no evidence to support it yet. I keep watching the Detroit tape, watching the Green Bay tape. And if Green Bay and Detroit did this, what will Kansas City do with Mahomes?
Yeah, and the betting market has sort of been taking more of the season-long approach versus the what we've seen over the last 4 weeks approach. And it happened last week with the AFC title game where a lot of people liked Baltimore. I liked Baltimore as well last week. I went ahead and laid the points with them. That got all the way out as high as 5, but ended up closing 4.5 because if you looked at the season-long data, it would lead you to believe that the Ravens are the better team. They should win the game, but that's not how it played out. And I think as well, that's what's kind of sort of happening here with this market is that if you look at the season, long data over the course of 18 weeks of the regular season, the Niners were the better football team. So on a neutral site, they should be favored. But over what we've seen over these last 4 weeks, if you just plop down and watch these two teams and didn't watch much of the season, just watch the playoffs and maybe the last couple weeks of the regular season, I think you'd come to the conclusion that Kansas City is just playing better football. And so it's kind of what do you value sort of, you know?
It's hard to judge it because I think one of the things you have to do as handicappers, you got to throw out the games that really don't mean anything, right? Mm-hmm. You have to kind of throw them away and you got to say, okay, this game didn't mean anything. But we know this, the two coaches are really good at offensive design. These two coaches mm-hmm. are really good at game planning. of really putting the situation and moving the football against good defenses. I think one of the things that hasn't gotten talked enough about is how Andy Reid has improved his offensive line play. Right, this offensive line was a weakness for the team for most of the season. Watch the Raider tape when the Raiders just kicked their butt, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Raiders were really able to move the football on them. And so because of that, you know, they turned the ball over twice, the Raiders did. And Andy was trying to be creative on one play, fumble touchdown, and then, you know, the out route to Jack Jones picked off for another 14 points. So, you know, I think they've moved away from trying to be that way, but the turnover by Hardman, you know, really helped Baltimore out. I mean, helped Buffalo out tremendously. So this one's hard. I just don't have enough evidence to feel comfortable with San Francisco yet.
Well, which head coach do you give the edge in this matchup? Two terrific head coaches, Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan, Shanahan in pursuit of his first Super Bowl victory. Who do you give the edge to in the head coaching matchup?
Well, I give it to Reid only because I think that Reid's challenge against this 49er defense, which is essentially a basic defense that doesn't really do a lot of things, is going to be an advantage. Reid knows that if they try to play zone against him, he has every West Coast short pass that he can throw, sticks, option, all these things, right? And then he's got to sit there, will they play man-to-man? Will we get into a man-to-man game with them? You know, if the strategy of San Francisco's defense, to me, is the most important thing that I'm going to be looking for in the first quarter. Because if they try to play zone like Baltimore did, it's going to be a 12-play drive touchdown. And if they get into man-to-man and they don't have the right guy covering Kelce, it could be a problem as well. You know, Hamilton was one of the best cover guys in the league on tight ends, and it was just perfect execution. He was covered, but as Bill Parcells often would say, even when he's covered, he's open. And so you got to throw him the football. To me, that's the chess match. I think, look, Kyle, you know, one thing I do know is Mike Shanahan, Kyle's father, hasn't lost, is still watches tape. He's like, you know, he's like a lot of us that, you know, even though we're not in the game, we're in the game. You know, you're watching it, you're trying, because it's part of your DNA. It's kind of who you are. And he's been in these games before, and I think probably he'll be a guy that Kyle relies on a lot, especially what people don't realize about Mike is Mike was really very good at understanding how to play defense. Right, I think Mike was the instrument of change in San Francisco to get away from the Seattle defense and move closer into more multiplicity. Now, they haven't gone all the way in there, but I think he'll have an impact a little bit in terms of, I'm not saying he's going to coach the defense by no means. I'm saying he's going to strategize and help them. What could we do to stop Reid? Because who knows the West Coast offense the most? Mike Shanahan.
Yeah.
Reid, Shanahan. Those guys were born in it.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point to bring up. I mean, we see in the broadcast, like, you'll see the shot of Mike Shanahan kind of up in one of the suites. You can tell he's dialed in, man. Like, he's not up there having a good time. Yeah, he's dialed all
Look,
the way.
Look, I mean, Billy Callahan has to be the happiest guy on planet Earth. I
100%.
Mean, he got out of Cleveland to go coach with his son, who got one of the 32 head coaching jobs in the league. And Cleveland clearly had to let him go because he had contracts, and he's one of the highest paid offensive line coaches in the league, and he was able to get to Tennessee. So that's a huge, huge loss for Cleveland. Huge loss for Cleveland.
So
that's going to be one worth discussing in the offseason.
Yeah, no, everywhere he's gone, he's made the offensive line much better. The Cleveland's offensive line pretty good this year, so we'll see how they can get that. They got to get healthy on that offensive line for the Browns, but that's talk for a later day. The coordinator battle, the play callers, Andy Reid will be going up against Steve Wilks. You mentioned how Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan will be helping out with the defensive game plan because they understand defense pretty well. But how do you see Wilks sort of matching up with this Chiefs offense that the script has looked good, but after the script, then they kind of go into this, I don't know if it's a conservative mode or what have you, but they just don't seem to make explosive plays.
Well, I think what they do is they kind of, the other team adjusts to what they want to do. They kind of catch them off guard in formations. I mean, to go back and think about it, first play of the game, a little check, a little pass to Kelce, get it going. Then the next play of the game, they go empty and they see if they're in man or zone. They throw a hitch out there to Pacheco. All of a sudden they come back, they run an inside run. You know, they kind of, that script kind of was able for Andy to see how they wanted to play it. That's going to be the challenge, right? That's going to be the thing that Steve Wilks has got to say, okay, fellas, we got to bring it quick. We got to play hard. We're going to use our best stuff. I mean, I would say if I were Kyle, I would be telling Wilks, use some of your best stuff early in the game. Don't save it for the fourth quarter. Don't save it later. Use your best stuff. Let's find some things to get them out of their rhythm. We have got to get them out of their rhythm. Now, we can adjust later in the game to if they kind of start to get into a rhythm, but we've got to start the game getting them out of their rhythm. We can't allow Mahomes to go 10 for 10, 11 for 11 like he did against Baltimore.
Yep. And if they're able to get them out of the rhythm, that first quarter total is at 9.5. It's usually around that range for the Super Bowl, 10 or 9.5 or so. Maybe it's a first quarter under. Some of these Super Bowls tend to get off to slower starts with the two teams feeling each other out. As you say, like the first quarter is one game, the second and third quarter is another game, then the fourth quarter is a standalone game. Like there's the games within the games, as we often see in the Super Bowl. The other side of it, Kyle Shanahan against Steve Spagnuolo. Like that's like what football is all about right there. As a fan, you got to love that matchup.
Yep. Well, and Kyle's going to try to do some things formationally to try to see if he can get them to have some confusion and make some mistakes defensively. I mean, that's what he's got to try to do. And, you know, when they played 2 years ago when the San Francisco wasn't healthy, you know, and Kansas City went in there and just destroyed them. Do you remember that game? I mean, the 49ers were beat up in that game and they didn't have half. They lost to Atlanta the week before and then they came back home and Kansas City had their way. I'm not sure that tape's relevant, but I'm sure that tape will be something Kyle watched a lot of to figure out how he's going to handle all this stuff, and he's going to put a lot on Purdy's plate to get them into the right protection.
Yeah, I believe that was the Niners' last loss of the season until they lost the NFC title game to the Philadelphia Eagles. They were able to rip off a bunch of those victories. All right, so that is the coaching battle. On the other side, let's battle out with some of these props. Bettor's Choice next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With Omaha Steaks, you'll fall in love at first bite with their tender steaks, juicy burgers, air-chilled chicken, and more. You're going to love every bite. It's Omaha Steaks guarantee. And for a limited time, when you go to omahasteaks.com/VSiN, you will get 4 free air-chilled boneless chicken breasts and 4 free rich, juicy boneless pork chops with your order. Minimum purchases may apply. This is the Lombardi Line, and we are on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. Stick around in 15 minutes. Our buddy Matt Eumanns, host of VSiN Tonight, will be joining us to break down his Super Bowl props as well as the college basketball card in the college hoop scene. He's got to play in Kansas, Houston, as well as Kentucky and Tennessee. So we'll get into that with Matt Eumanns a little bit later on. But Michael, before we get into this Bettor's Choice, I don't mean to derail the segment here, but I did want to ask you something about Kyle Shanahan, because I was doing the sweat before our show here this morning and Emerson asked me, how would Kyle Shanahan be perceived if the Niners lose this game? And my answer was, hey, he's a tremendous head coach. Like, what do you mean? Like, if he loses to Mahomes and Reed, like, there's no shame in that. You can't hang your head. Obviously, he wants to climb the mountain and get that Super Bowl. But how do you think Shanahan will be perceived if they ultimately fall short against the Kansas City Chiefs yet again?
Well, let's just put it in perspective. I mean, Bud Grant's in the Hall of Fame. He lost Super Bowls, never won one. Marv Levy's in the Hall of Fame. He lost 4 Super Bowls, never won one. So, like, I don't even understand the question. Like, they're going to be, he's your Super Bowl coach. You're a great coach. You just couldn't win the biggest game. You know, it doesn't really, to me, it's he's young enough to know that he can keep battling. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's the ultimate, what you have to do. You just keep battling your way through it. And you know that the way you're perceived by other people is when coaches are getting into the Hall of Fame, you know, and I think to me, it's clear that, you know, when you see this, you see that, you know, he was, I mean, Bud Grant is went to it. I think they went 3 times, 4 times, 3. I know they went at least twice, the Vikings. So he got in, you know, and he didn't make it. To me, it's a great achievement. I don't think you can dismiss it. I don't think it's one of those things where you lose the big game. Look, if your team's will able to compete and play at a high level, and maybe you just don't win the game because the other team's better. It's nothing to do with coaching. It just has everything to do with how good is your team. I don't think it would affect my viewpoint. Now, you know, in today's world, we're social media where they want Mike Tomlin fired, Bill Belichick isn't working, Mike Vrabel's not working. I could see, you know, but people don't understand how hard it is to A, get here, and B, win.
100%. I think that's the thing that, like, doesn't get driven home enough is just how hard it is just to get to the game, which makes what New England did in their run, the 20-year dynasty, remarkable. What Kansas City's doing right now, it makes that remarkable that they're able to get back here, it seems, every single season. Because, I mean, think about back, I always think about 2010 when the Packers beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl. We all thought, oh, Aaron Rodgers, he's going to go to multiple Super Bowls. He's going to win a bunch. He's at the peak of his powers. He's never been back. He's never been back to the Super Bowl. I mean, right. I was talking with Pritch about this yesterday. The Green Bay Packers with Brett Favre, they went 96, they win the game, they lose to Denver in 97. Favre never went back after those two Super Bowls. Like, it's never difficult to get there. And if you're able to do it, it's hats off, man.
Yeah, I mean, Bud Grant went to the Super Bowl in 1969, lost to the Chiefs. He didn't go back again until they lost to the Raiders in 76. And so, no, excuse me, he lost. How about this? He lost to the, how about this? This is great. He lost to the Miami Dolphins in 73, Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He lost to the Steelers in 74, Super Bowl. And he lost to the Cowboys, and he lost to the Raiders in 76, Super Bowl. So he's like Marv Levy. He went to four Super Bowls and couldn't win one.
Yeah.
And they're in the Hall of Fame. So if Kyle loses his second one, just think, if he goes to two more, he's going to get in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, 100%. And then he's kind of on that trajectory with what they've been able to do. As long as they keep that roster healthy, they've always at least got to the NFC title game out there in San Francisco. All right, let's get to Bettor's Choice. And we will start with the signal callers, Brock Purdy and Patrick Mahomes here. Both of these numbers are at minus 115 juice, readily available over at DraftKings. But would you rather bet over 245.5 passing yards for Purdy or over 216.5 passing yards for Mahomes?
I would rather bet the over 260 because I think Mahomes can throw the ball more effectively. Not that Purdy won't be able to, but I think that Mahomes will. There's going to be, if they play zone, I think there's going to be a lot of throws that Mahomes can make. I would go Mahomes over the 260.5 for sure.
I think I would go Purdy just because Kansas City's offense has been more of the balanced attack. And even last week when Mahomes had 30 completions, what was it, like 230 yards or something like that? It hasn't really been that vertical offense. And 260.5 is a pretty big number. So I think I'd lean to the Purdy side.
But they control the ball, though. I mean, he got 215 against the Bills. He threw it 41 times against Miami. I mean, you know, they kind of shut it down when they have it. But I think, to me, when you look at it, I think when you break him down, I do think that, you know, he will throw. And there's some, and one of the things you got to be able to do is throw the football effectively. And so against a team like San Francisco, if they play zone, I think clearly he's got a great opportunity to do that. He's thrown for you know, in that, like in that Miami game. I mean, they were, even in the cold weather in that Miami, he was humming it. He's thrown 718 yards in three games. So he's been slightly over that 200-yard mark.
Mm-hmm. And now you get the perfect conditions indoors at Allegiant Stadium.
Exactly.
Let's keep it up with the pass catchers, though. Now, Brandon Ayuk, over 63.5 receiving yards, or Rashee Rice, over 68.5 receiving yards?
Ayuk, I'm going there. I think Ayuk's got to have a big day. I think, look, they're going to force the ball outside the numbers. Ayuk averages over 17 yards per catch. He's been really good come post. He was good in the regular season. He's been good in the postseason. I think, to me, you know, he's had six catches for 100 yards in this postseason, 51 being a long. I think, to me, he's going to be the guy. Rashee Rice, I think Kelce is Rice. Can you take him out of the game? I think Rice is a good player. But I think Kelce, Rice, and I mean, I think they could play man-to-man against him. I think Ayuk, if Snead's on him, I still think he can get open.
Yeah, no, and Ayuk is Brock Purdy's favorite target. If you watch them play there, he loves Ayuk. They have a great chemistry together. So that could be the guy that he targets. In the rushing game, Christian McCaffrey over 89.5 rush yards, or Isaiah Pacheco over 67.5 rush yards?
Well, McCaffrey's got 188 yards so far in two games. So, you know, to me, I think that he should be the one you want to play here, because if they can run the football effectively, you know, this is something teams have been able to do against Kansas City. But Pacheco, we know he's getting 21 carries a game, and we know this 49er defense has given up 5.6 yards per carry. And we know the Chiefs want to run the football. We know they want to kind of balance the game. They want to go on drives. I think I'll lean Pacheco here, lighter yards.
Yeah, same. When I looked at this, I was like, Pacheco going up against the Niners run defense. We'll ride that train until it stops. The next one is the pass rushers. Nick Bosa over 0.25 sacks or Chris Jones over 0.25 sacks. Now, Bosa's minus 125. Chris Jones is plus 120.
I'm going to take Jones here. It's a good matchup for Jones inside. If Feliciano can't block him, neither of these guards for the 49ers are going to be able to block him. Now, the thing they're going to do is try to play action him and try to hold him on the line and get him to where, you know, he just can't get a running start. He can't get in that sprinter stance and take off. But I think he's going to be the guy that makes a difference. Look, the Chiefs know where Bosa lines up on the edges, whether it's against Taylor or against Smith. They're going to have to be able to handle him, and they'll chip him and do whatever they need to do. Harder to do inside, you know, especially if the protection gets shifted and they slide it around. And these guards are the weak point of the 49er offensive line.
Did you catch Nick Bosa's comment when he was asked about the offensive tackles, Taylor and Smith? He said they hold a lot. Is this what he said?
They do. And they haven't been called for it. Last game, they only had three penalties. They only had three penalties in the last game. They hold a lot. Sure they do. They get away with it. Yeah. But, you know, so does the 49ers. Everybody gets away with it. It'll be interesting to see if Vinovich is going to let them play, because he and the umpire in the game are going to be the guys controlling the holding. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and typically in the past, Vinovich has been one of the least amount of flags of all the refs, so he usually lets them play. Hopefully that's the case next Sunday. Most tackles, Fred Warner plus 190 or Nick Bolton plus 220?
Oh, boy. I think I'll go Warner. I mean, because I do think they'll try to run the ball. I do think they'll try to run the ball, and I think he'll have an opportunity to make a lot of tackles. I think Warner's got to play really well. I think their linebackers have to play really well.
Here's a fun one here at the end. First Chiefs drive offensive score, even money, or first 49ers drive an offensive score. Like, which script are you buying into most?
I'm buying into the 49ers script because it's proven to be true.
Yeah. And they've always been really good to start games out there. Kyle Shanahan and the team will squeeze one more in. Brock Purdy under half an interception minus 125 or Mahomes under half an interception minus 115.
You got to play Purdy here. He's had interceptions. He's thrown them. And our boy Mahomes hasn't thrown one since since we saw Jack Jones run it in for a touchdown. So I'm going to play with the pass percentage. I think it would be. I think it's going to be hard. I think Mahomes is going to be very careful with this football.
Yeah, Mahomes has been efficient and careful, and it's helped the Chiefs get here once again. All right, Matt Youmans will join us in studio next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you bet on the big game, check out VSiN's Big Game Prop Special show today. They'll have favorite prop bets, picks, and best bets from VSiN hosts and guests. Also, find out which props cash the most tickets. Check out VSiN Big Game Prop Special today at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And check out all of our Super Bowl 58 coverage at VSiN.com/Super Bowl. .com is buzzing. That's the new website. Check it all out there. I mean, we have a lot of content that's already been posted. Much more to come for Super Bowl week. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Family of MFA, Michael Lombardi, and joining us now in studio, like you did all football season, the one and only Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight. You can check it out Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight Eastern. I know you guys last night kicked off the college basketball invitational. Yeah. We'll get into all of that, but want to start with the Super Bowl. Right now, Niners 2-point favorites. We were just talking about this earlier this hour. The Westgate just went to 2.5 in favor of the 49ers, total 47.5 here. Agree with that move? Agree with this market? Like, how do you kind of perceive this as we're 8 days away from kickoff?
I like the Chiefs a little bit in the game. See, I bet the Chiefs in the first three playoff games, and bettors tend to stick with the team that pays them off. And, so there's no reason for me to switch sides right now. It'd be interesting to get Michael's take, because I read his column last week about how the Chiefs can win the game. And, I think this line's probably right with the Niners being slight favorites. I don't necessarily disagree with that, but that doesn't mean the game's going to turn out that way. In the last 20 Super Bowls, the underdog is 14-6 against the spread. And, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs obviously don't mind the underdog role, and they've they've been playing better than the 49ers have been in the playoffs. I'm looking to get to Chiefs plus three. I mean, if I got to take 2.5, I'll take it, but it's not going to be a big bet. And then I'll see if I can live bet, you know, during the game and get a better number, because really when you're taking 2.5, you're not getting a lot there. You're not getting enough. And my score projection for the VSiN Super Bowl betting guide is 27-24 Chiefs. Ooh. I did that this morning at about 5 o'clock, and I was just working on the game a little bit and some props. And so I think that the 49ers got a pretty strong public following throughout the season. They've been favored in every game. So I thought they were going to draw the bigger bets here. And what was the narrative on the Chiefs the entire season? Well, the Chiefs are in decline. Their offense is not the same, blah, blah, blah. Well, here in the postseason, I think we've seen the Kansas City offense step it up a little bit. And I give the Chiefs just a slight edge here, but like I said, I have not bet this yet because I was kind of waiting for that 2.5 to show up or see if I can find maybe a 3 at some point. There might be a book or two out there that pops 3 before kickoff.
Did you see any 3s? I mean, I see some people on our site have taken the 3s. I never saw it. I mean, I was probably way too late to the party, but I know how that goes, right? Everybody just invents the number. I've seen this all the time since I've been in this betting world. Oh, where'd you get that from? Okay, mm-hmm. I just pulled it out of the air.
It's a Russo
anyway,
number.
Matt, Matt, he does it every week. You know, he get a number here. Let me ask you, what about the I see you like the over total in this game?
All right, so I listened to Peyton Manning break this game down. He thinks it's going to be an offensive game, a high-scoring game. And I don't think it's going to be a shootout, but I've got it barely going over the total, you know, at 27-24. And here's my problem with the defenses, Michael, and, you know, why I wanted to get your take on the Niners. I have not seen San Francisco put together a really good game in terms of a 3 or 4 quarter really good performance since the middle of December. And you can gash this run defense for San Francisco. You know what? You can run the ball on the Chiefs too. And I think both these teams are going to be effective running the ball and probably moving the sticks enough to push the game barely over the total. I don't think it's going to be a shootout, but like I said, 27-24 is right there in my range of prediction.
Yeah, I mean, I could see the case for both offensive coaches, head coaches, really being able to attack the vulnerability of the defense, right? I mean, you got to be, you know, Detroit played well for a half, I thought, and then mm-hmm. the third, fourth quarter, they kind of let the quarterback kind of run around. You know, look, the Buffalo Bills, if you go back to that game, they controlled the clock. They put, you know, they had huge play count drives. They had three drives that had 6 first downs in them alone. They had 18 first downs on 3 drives. So for as much as we want to talk about how great this Chief defense is, I think it's a little bit kind of the weekly narrative, because a week ago, you know, I know they won that game 27-24, but if the kid makes a field goal, we're in overtime. Are they here? We don't know. I mean, who knows, right? And Buffalo has to be kicking themselves up and down because they had more opportunities. They had the ball. And if Diggs catches the deep pass, we might be talking about something else. So I could see you going over. I think that's kind of where I am on it, is I feel like everybody's, the Chiefs only give up 14 points. Well, Baltimore's game plan was horrible. Buffalo's wasn't. Miami, yeah. You know, Miami was moving. Miami, you know, we know Tua, they're going to extend his contract. I love how Tua announced that they're going to extend him. You know, I mean, when a player does that, it puts you in a position you have to do it. Right? Smart. Anyway, so I'm leaning towards that too, Matt. I just don't, as much as I think it will be, I think there's vulnerability in each defense that the offensive coaches, the head coaches, can exploit.
You know, the Buffalo Bills ran for 182 yards against the Kansas City defense. And for some reason, the Ravens lost their way the next week. You know, this, it made no sense to me. So I think Kyle Shanahan's going to be smart enough here to say, hey, look, we can really do some business on the ground against this KCD. The Bills showed you that. A lot of other teams have shown you that, too. And so that's why I think these offenses are going to have a little bit more success than maybe some people think. Femi, do you want to announce a contract extension for yourself on the show today?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do that. Lifetime deal. It's going to be. what did LeBron sign with Nike? $1 billion?
No, that's what he got from DraftKings.
I mean, it's just. I mean, it's just important that you do it. I think you have to. I think when you announce that you're getting extended, I was on a radio show in Miami yesterday, and they asked me if I thought he was going to get extended. And I said, look, if I were the GM of Miami, I would let him play for the fifth year and then figure out what I'm going to do after that. But, you know, they're all in. So I guess he's when he announced it at the Pro Bowl, I said, okay, they're going all in. I don't understand it, but they are.
He understands the political arena, man. Just go ahead and get out in front of things.
He's got a great agent for that. I mean, he has a great agent for that. You got to give Lee Steinberg credit. I mean, here's a guy who's getting think about some of the MVP votes. He was a favorite for the MVP for a large portion of the season. I mean, you and I say, come on, but America didn't.
I get so tired of that stuff. I mean, the fact that Tua and Brock Purdy were MVP candidates, it just shows you how many airheads are talking in the sports media and promoting things like that. Well, come on.
We all look forward to NFL honors this upcoming Thursday when we finally cash some of these awards tickets. We're hanging out with Matt Eumanns here, host of VSiN Tonight. You can check it out Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight Eastern time. You mentioned that you think that you're going to have both teams will have success on the ground. Christian McCaffrey is a guy that you're targeting, not just on the ground, but also in the passing game as well. Why do you like McCaffrey so much over his numbers in the prop game?
Well, I think Shanahan's going to be smart here. He's going to say, what's the path to victory? Who's the horse we're going to ride? And it's going to be Christian McCaffrey because of what you can do against this KCD on the ground. You don't have to run it all the time between the tackles. You can swing it out to him in the pass game too. And this guy's dangerous. If you look at McCaffrey against the Lions, 20 carries, 90 yards. He had 4 receptions for 42 yards. Against the Packers, 17 carries, 98 yards, 7 receptions, 30 yards. I think there's a pretty good chance he could go over both of these numbers. Right now at DraftKings, I think the rushing number is 89.5. Is that right? For the Super Bowl prop, 90.5, a couple other books I've seen. But, you know, I think at the worst, he's going to go over one of the two, and then that's no harm done if you split the two props. But I think there's a good chance he goes over both. He's got to be, I think, the horse you ride to the winner's circle if you're Kyle Shanahan. You're not going to put the game, especially in the first half, Michael, I don't think you would want to put the game on the arm of Brock Purdy, would you?
Well, I think you're going to be careful in what you do, right? I think they need to run play action because when you watch the Detroit game, you know, when it got to 3rd and 8, he got hit a bunch. I mean, this offensive line for San Francisco is a little bit misjudged. Mm-hmm. Williams is a good player, although he got pushed back by Hutchinson, but the guards had a hard time handling the power, handling the TT games inside. So I think the one thing, this is what made not going for the field goal with 22 minutes to go in the game interesting because they could push the guards back. And if you get Kyle into a drop back pass game, that does benefit you.
Yeah. The 4-down decisions was talked about much throughout the week there. You have a couple of props, though, that you're targeting some plus money shots here. 2-point conversion and one of our favorites, over 2.5 players to have a pass attempt.
You know, I throw those in. Entertainment props. Sometimes, you know, you don't have to take Super Bowl prop betting so seriously, like seriously, like a lot of pros will go berserk, but those are the same guys laying $9 on no safety,
overtime,
whatever, things like that. But you know, if you want to have fun with some props like that, I always look for the plus price props where I could see Deebo Samuel attempting a pass or something like that. You got to think in a game like this, you might go a little bit deeper into the playbook, pull out a play that nobody's seen. So over 2.5 players to throw a pass and also a 2-point conversion attempt. It doesn't have to be made, and both those are plus price props.
There we go. We love it. Let's have some fun on Super Bowl Sunday. All right, Matt Eumanns is going to hang out with us as we wrap up the show. We'll break down today's college hoops card as well as get you guys updated on the College Basketball Invitational here at Circa. This is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58? DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with code VSiN. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi, Matt Youmans joining us here in studio for two segments, host of VSiN tonight. Make sure you check that out Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight Eastern time. I'm sure this week you guys will be talking a lot of Super Bowl, a lot of Super Bowl props, maybe some do's, some don'ts, what people should do, because I feel like we get a lot of bettors who don't typically bet props come in and dive into the prop markets, which are pretty deep here on Super Bowl week. So it'll be a lot of stuff to get to there throughout the week.
There's plenty of talking points for the Super Bowl betting for sure. And, you know, I was at the Westgate Superbook a couple nights ago when they put the props up, and they got 500 plus props they put up. And you see some of the sharpest bettors over there firing away. But props can be, you know, you can look at it as entertainment. I always say I don't bet games. A lot of times somebody will text me on a, you know, Thursday night, who are you betting tonight? I said, I don't bet a game just because it's on TV. I don't bet for entertainment because I don't find it entertaining to lose. But when you get to the Super Bowl and you got all these props, I can understand that people just want to have action on certain things to happen in a game and they can bet for entertainment. But, you know, try to be somewhat smart about it and look for the plus price props and don't lay huge prices and things like that. And that's the kind of advice I would give to people. If you're going to bet the price, if you're going to bet the props and you're going to bet a lot of them, to try to look for the plus prices and be responsible about it. You don't want to bet 30 props, but you can bet 10 to 15. I've bet, you know, 10, 15, 20 props in the Super Bowl before. The pros attack it totally different than the public does. A lot of times you got guys out there trying to middle arbitrage these numbers, and that's just a different world. You can't lash out at the public bettors for being dumb for betting Super Bowl props all the time. And we get too many people who do that. And you hear that on this network sometimes.
Oh.
Hey, Matt, yeah. Matt, I thought you did a really great job of explaining, and Bill AD put it in the newsletter. And if you don't subscribe to the newsletter, you're really missing out on some really great information, easily readable in the morning from the great Bill AD, who actually was blindfolded to go to his sushi restaurant, which I still don't understand. But I'm going to get to the bottom of that when I come out to Las Vegas next week. Talk to us about your methodology in terms of correlation between the outcome and the props.
Yeah, usually you want to have a game plan, a script for how you think the game is going to play out and bet your props accordingly. At the same time, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket in case your script goes awry and things go wrong, and then you lose your game bets and you lose your props and you lose everything. So that's why, you know, I've got the Chiefs to win this game, and I'm going to bet a fair amount of Chiefs related stuff, but I also am open to the idea that Christian McCaffrey is going to have a huge game and he could be MVP and he's going to go over his rushing yards, receiving yards, and be the MVP of this game. And that's a little bit of a hedge on your Chiefs play, is that, hey, McCaffrey could take this over and win the game for the 49ers. So I think you have your game script, how it's going to work out. You got some props you're going to find that are going to fit your script, but I would say don't put all your eggs in one basket too.
We're hanging out with Matt Youmans here, host of VSiN Tonight here on the Lombardi Line. Let's talk about some college hoops, because I know last night on VSiN Tonight, which you can check out Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight Eastern, you guys began the Circa College Basketball Invitational. Can you let the folks know what you guys are going to do? Is it going to be a similar format to the football contest? How's it kind of shaking out?
Well, basketball is totally different than football. It just doesn't set up the same way. You know, the Saturday schedules are monstrous in college hoops, as you know, well over 100 games, and the lines aren't out for most of the games until around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We got to start this show at 6. So we got a quick turnaround to try to get the handicappers to put in their plays and get that 6 to 9 p.m. show done here on Friday nights. So it's not like football where you have the whole week to handicap everything and you know what your game plan is going to be. This is kind of a quick turnaround for the College Hoops Contest. We're going to do 4 regular season weeks. Starting last night, then also February 9th, 16th, and 23rd. You're going to take a little bit of a break because of the conference tournaments, and you're going to have a lot of games with no lines on the board, so that makes it more difficult, and really it's probably smart to take a break until the NCAA tournament. Then we're going to have three more weeks of the contest. We're going to have a bunch of plays on the first round, the Sweet 16, and the Final Four. We're going to have a total of 40 plays per contestant, and nice. We're also we've got 10 handicappers lined up in the field, and Wes Reynolds and I are competing as auxiliary contestants. So last night we had a total of 60 plays put out, and you get them on the VSiN Pro page. And hey, let's face it, we got one game left in the football season. Over there, even though there's a lot to bet on this one football game, pretty soon Saturday is going to be dominated by college hoops, and a lot of people out there are looking for college hoops opinions and hopefully winners. And that's what we're trying to accomplish with the Circuit College Hoops Challenge. This is year number two we've done this one also.
So let's start off with some of your plays here. You're going to go, let's talk about Ed Cooley's Georgetown Hoyas versus Marquette. Mm-hmm. You're going to take the 12 against Marquette today.
Yeah, Ed Cooley is a really good coach. He doesn't have his team put together yet here. He's got to recruit to his program, but I think this is a good spot for Georgetown as a home dog. And I played five dogs in the contest this week, four of them home dogs. And Georgetown's won, and this is an ugly side that not a lot of people are going to want to bet, but the Golden Eagles are on back-to-back road games. It's had a tough game at Villanova a couple nights ago where they blew a big lead and then came back to win the game. Georgetown got blown out the first time these teams met. It's just one of those spots where the home dog is in a good situation here to, I think, even threaten to pull the upset of Marquette. I don't think it's going to be an upset, but you can get 12.5 points with Georgetown. And I don't think you're going to see Marquette play its A game today.
All right. Maybe Georgetown can keep it close at home. 12 is the number. How about Houston and Kansas? Oh. The Cougars, they went to the Big 12. We all wanted to see how they played. They played pretty darn well. They're a one-point road favorite at Fog Allen. Rarely do you see the Jayhawks catching points at home.
Well, last night it was 2.5. You know, so in the contest, Kansas plus 2.5 is what we got. And that number was out there all night. Now, the Ken Pomeroy analytics site made Houston a 4 or 5 point favorite.
It's right around the corner, Michael.
Here we go. Can somebody count how many times we say Ken Pom over the next 90 days? Yeah. I want the over. Right. I want the over. Can we count that?
The betting market reflects those Ken Pom numbers. I don't believe in them like gospel like a lot of people do. But you have to look at them because I'm trying to figure out why is Kansas a 2.5 point home dog? And you look at Ken Pom. Oh, Ken Pom's got Houston by 5. Okay. Well, that doesn't make sense to me, but I'm taking the Jayhawks. Kevin McCullough, who I think is Kansas's MVP, he was out with a bone bruise in his knee Tuesday at Oklahoma State. I expect him to play today. Very valuable to the number. I mean, he's worth a couple points to the number, but I think he is going to play. And, man, Houston has lost a couple times on the Big 12 road. It's a limited offensive team. Kansas has more offensive options, even though Kansas is not a great three-point shooting team. How many times do you see the Jayhawks as home dogs, you know, in Allen Fieldhouse? Just not too often. And I had to take them here because I don't think Houston should be the favorite. I actually made Kansas a slight favorite in this spot. So,
all right. So some disagreement between everybody's favorite.
I watched Kentucky play against Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And they got behind, didn't shoot well. Defensively, they got better. And then they closed out Arkansas late, which is not a great typical Eric Musselman team this year. Right. But their defense is the key. Now they go against Tennessee, and you like them getting the 1.5 in Knoxville.
Yeah, this is a classic contrasting styles game because typically I like to play the team that's better defensively, and that's Tennessee. But the Vols, again, such a limited offensive team. Dalton Kinect, the transfer from Northern Colorado, has been most of the Volunteers' offense so far. Kentucky has plenty of offense. Kentucky's a pretty good rebounding team, too. The problem is Kentucky's not very good on the defensive end of the floor right now, but I don't think that's going to be the difference in the game. I think Kentucky can outscore Tennessee in this spot. And, you know, I like to bet against you know, in situations where you have a team like Kentucky that just lost a home game and blew it at the end, I like to bet on that team not to lose two in a row at home. And I think Kentucky will be the side here plus 1.5.
Hey, people seem to like this Kentucky team. Big Z, the guy that the guys played.
There's a lot of talent there. The problem is you get a lot of young guys who just aren't very good at playing defense, you know, and that's a problem.
Well, we'll see if Cal gets that corrected by March. We got about 40 seconds left. How about St. Mary's and Gonzaga in Spokane? Looks like you're going with the Gales here as the dog.
Yeah, I think Gonzaga is overrated in the betting market, and St. Mary's is a better team. The Zags probably, this is going to be, you would think, a tight game down to the wire tonight, and I'll take the 4, 4.5 with St. Mary's. I took 4 last night. It's 4.5 now, so somebody disagrees, but I think St. Mary's is a better team, and I just hope that next week when Michael Lombardi shows up in Vegas, he's not blindfolded.
Yes, I'm not, I will not be going to any sushi restaurants, Matt. I'll be going to Barry's with you or somebody. You know, okay. I'm not going there.
Not a sushi guy.
Maybe Bill AD and Ken Palm are going to get, maybe those two are going to go together blindfolded to the sushi place. I have no idea. Good luck.
Sashimi all around. That does it for us here on the Lombardi Line. Thank you, Michael. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Thank you to Matt Humans. Thank you to our producer, Elliot Bowman, and the entire crew. Safe travels out here to Vegas. Live Bet Saturday is coming up next with Pam and JVT.